Amen. Matthew 24. When's the last time you guys were in Matthew 24? Wow, praise God, I'm preaching on prophecy. Apparently, we need to be in it more often. Matthew 24, that's a great context there. The disciples approach Jesus. He's talking about the seven-year tribulation there, and he says, hey, what are some signs that we know it's getting close? He starts off with wars and rumors of wars and pestilence and famines and earthquakes and strange things going on in the sky. But it says there, Jesus speaking, he says, here's another one, that the love of many, in that time frame, the love of many will grow cold. Now, folks, tell me that that's not happening in our world today. The love of many is growing cold. People are so callous of their other people's pain, it is absolutely unbelievable. It's kind of like this firefighter. Let's take a look at this.
An experienced firefighter was recently charged with grave neglect of duty. Prosecutors maintained that he had abandoned his responsibility when he failed to release rescue equipment. This resulted in the needless and tragic deaths of a family of five. Eyewitnesses were sickened when they discovered that the reason the firefighter remained locked in the emergency vehicle was simply because he was testing a new high-tech CD player, which he maintained he had bought as a gift for the fire chief. The fire chief immediately distanced himself from the defendant, and he dishonorably discharged him from the department. In a prepared statement, the chief said, quote, "There are no words to describe such a betrayal of those he was sworn to protect." The lead prosecuting attorney argued that for more than 3 minutes after arriving on the scene, the firefighter wore earphones and listened to a CD while a family of five was screaming to be rescued from the sixth floor of a burning building. Horrified onlookers related that as flames licked her clothing, a mother cried out in terror and fell to her death while still clutching an infant in her arms. Other witnesses said that the father was clutching two terrified children as he was engulfed by the massive flames. This terrifying drama took place in full view of the firefighter as he remained seated in the vehicle listening to the CD. The defense pleaded no contest but added that the defendant went to great personal sacrifice to purchase the expensive gift for the chief and hoped that the judge would take that into consideration as he passed sentence. What do you think is a fitting punishment for this serious crime? 2 years in prison? 20 years? A life sentence? Capital punishment? You be the judge.
Yeah, you be the judge. I mean, talk about the love of many growing cold. That is, what would be the fitting punishment for that guy? Who what? What's the context? Who did nothing while people literally perished in the flames. Isn't that horrible? Talk about callous. Talk about the love of many growing cold. Okay, but here's my point. How is that any different in principle than so-called churches, so-called pastors or Sunday school teachers, whoever, who refuse to teach on Bible prophecy and warn people about the flaming times to come? Is that any different? It's called the seven-year tribulation, and it's not a joke. The Bible says, you want to see some flames? That is a time frame when God is going to pour out his flaming wrath on this whole planet for 7 years nonstop. And that unless God shortened that time frame, the entire human race would be destroyed. How many of you guys would say if you really love somebody and you knew that was coming, hey, speak up? But that's not what we're seeing today. And the reason why we're not seeing that today is because of another thing that the Bible warned about. It was called the apostasy. But praise God, we're not a part of that because believe it or not, folks, it's called teach the Bible. One third of the Bible deals with God's loving warning. He's not just a God of wrath. He's a God of love. And because he loves people and he wants them to not go into that flaming inferno, not only the seven-year tribulation, but hell itself. What's he do? Nearly one third of this book is devoted to warning people about what is to come. And so that's why we are going to be responsible Christians, biblical Christians, and we're going to continue in our study, the final countdown, tribulation rising. We've already dealt with the first of two signs of the seven-year tribulation, signs it's getting close. We don't know the day nor the hour, but God gives us seasons. It has got to be getting close, okay? And we dealt with that first one was the Jewish people in the Antichrist. And of course, the last nine times was the second sign, modern technology and the AI invasion. And we've already seen the first six future prophecies. The Bible clearly talks about modern technology, and Lord willing, we'll get there, even artificial intelligence, yes, in the Bible, that tells us that we're living in the last days. Now, we've already seen that with the increase of travel. 3 studies just on that. We take that one for granted big time. Then we saw the increase of communication. Then it was the increase of distribution, the increase of electronic transactions, i.e. a cashless society, the increase of electronic markings, a marking system that's linked to the cashless society, the mark of the beast. And then the last 2 times was the issue of electronic monitoring. In other words, the Big Brother society that I firmly believe the Bible is very redundant about, that the Antichrist and the false prophet need to have on a global scale in order to pull off the events that we see in Revelation 13. Not just the buying and selling, but literally the micromanaging of the whole planet, not just knowing what people are doing and saying at any given time, but to have the ability, if they don't do what you tell them to do, okay, then you're going to give an order and they're going to die. That requires the ability to micromanage the planet down to the minute personal level, and that's what we're seeing with the Big Brother technology. Now, we've already seen with the Big Brother surveillance system that's already being put into place. It's not coming. It's already being put into place. We saw that with the information system, okay, and to build the dossiers on you and I, right? Then they're combining it last time we saw with the satellite system, and there we saw, whether we realize it or not, folks, it's already in place. Again, it's not coming. It's already here. We have Big Brother eyes in the sky, satellites right now watching our every move, right? And you think, well, how do we get into that shape? Well, as we saw before, little by little, like a frog in a pot, what do? You warm it up over time. And over time, we've been conditioned, listen, to exist literally across the planet like a bunch of rats in a cage being watched, okay, from the sky. And they say, don't worry, it's for your own good. Or, hey, it's for your own convenience. Who can live without GPS now? You know what I'm saying? Or, no, it's for your own protection. It's just to get those bad guys. But who defines the bad guy, and what if you became the bad guy? Just simply being a Christian. Do you think our society would ever do that? Folks, we're that close, man. We're one election away from, unfortunately, that reality happen, okay? And what we saw was that's a bunch of baloney. That's a lie. Because in reality, it's going to lead to a horrible slaughter in the 7-year tribulation, okay, where nobody's going to be able to run. You won't be able to hide. The whole point is you better get saved now and avoid the whole thing, right? That's the whole point. Okay, but this leads us to the third type of Big Brother surveillance system they've already put into place, and that's what I call the camera system. And again, as I opened up with folks, I'm telling you, we don't just have Big Brother eye in the sky, we got Big Brother eye on the ground, okay? And they are watching us with cameras in a multitude of ways, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and we don't even know about it, okay? It's happening on a massive, massive level. It is, and I stress this word, everywhere, in places you can't even dream of. And it's this, and by and large, most of us don't even know. We're being monitored and we don't even know. And it's this secretive, that's the theme word today. It's this secretive behavior that the Bible says the Antichrist is going to use and do to build the machinery he needs for what he's going to pull off in the 7-year tribulation. But as always, don't take my word for it. Let's listen to God's. 2 Thessalonians 2 is our opening text. And let's take a look at what the Antichrist is going to be doing in the last days. What's he going to be up to? What words can characterize what he is doing, his motives, his behavior? Let's take a look at that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. If you find 3 Thessalonians, what do? It's not in the Bible. Throw it away. You're paying attention. Praise God. Right? That's even better than Canon camera. Okay, but let's go ahead and stand as we read God's holy word. The man of lawlessness. Who's that? The Antichrist, right? That's the context here. Now, here's what Paul says. He says this, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, okay, the rapture, he said, we ask you, brothers, first of all, listen, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by, listen, some prophecy or report or letter supposed to have come from us. In other words, people were lying, being deceitful. And here's what they were doing, saying that the day of the Lord had already come. The day of the Lord starts at the 7-year tribulation. So in essence, Paul is saying, Christian, don't let anybody dupe you into thinking that you're going to be in the 7-year tribulation, right? The day of the Lord starts at the 7-year tribulation and moves forward, right? And he says, here's why. He says, don't let anyone deceive you in any way. For that day, what day? The day of the Lord, the 7-year tribulation, will not come until what? The rebellion occurs and the what? The man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, is revealed. And he's the man doomed to destruction. And here's what he's going to do. He's going to oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or his worship, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. We saw before, that's the midway point when he does that. He's revealed at the beginning of the 7-year tribulation. I'll get to that in a second. And at the midway point, he commits the abomination of desolation. And then Paul, it's like, you know, it's a good teacher. It's like, hey guys, I've already preached on this before. How many times are we going to go through this? Listen to what he says here. Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things? And now you know what's holding him back, so that he may be revealed, the Antichrist, at the proper time. For the, what's the word there? Secret power of lawlessness is, well, wait a second, what? Is already at work, he says there. Okay? But the one who now holds it back will continue to do so until he's taken out of the way. And then the lawlessness will be revealed. The lawless one, okay, will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming, the second coming at the end of the 7-year tribulation. Okay, is what he says there. You may be seated. But again, this is the classic passage that we see that Paul has to clear up a misconception going wrong around, by false teachers. It was a false teaching. And notice what that false teaching was. These guys were liars. They were deceivers, right? They were given the impression this came from Paul. No, it didn't. But what was the lie? The lie was, oh no, we're in the 7-year tribulation, the day of the Lord. He says, what are you talking about? Christians are nowhere around that time. Now, does that not sound like today or what? How many times you hear people, oh no, the church is in the 7-year tribulation? No, you're not. That's a, Paul, don't let anyone deceive you in any way, right? Paul clearly says that. Christians are nowhere to be around in the 7-year tribulation. He's very emphatic about it. And he says it's a pure logic, right? He says the day of the Lord, the 7-year tribulation, does not occur until the rebellion occurs and the Antichrist is revealed. When will people know beyond a shadow of a doubt that this guy, of all guys on the planet, people guess today, but what is the moment in time that we know 100% for sure that the Antichrist, it's this guy? It's Daniel 9:27, which is the very event that starts the 7-year tribulation. It's when the Antichrist makes a covenant, a treaty with the people of Israel. It's that event, bang, that starts the 7-year tribulation. Okay? And the reason why it's a 7-year is because Daniel 9:27 said that's the final week of Daniel's 70th week prophecy. Got it? But that event is what starts the 7-year tribulation. Will we see that event? No. Why? Because we leave prior to the 7-year tribulation, and there's logic there as well amongst other scriptures we've dealt with greatly. I'm not here to teach again on the rapture. Not that that's a bad thing. But the 7-year tribulation is a time of God's wrath. We are rescued from, we are not appointed unto, and we are saved from God's wrath. So we have to be gone prior. So the Antichrist is revealed. The people will know this is the guy if they read the Bible. Unfortunately, they won't. Most of the world's going to be duped. But that's the event. That's what starts the 7-year tribulation. And Paul says, that's why, don't be deceived. You guys can't be around. We leave prior. He's not revealed until the beginning of the 7-year tribulation. So don't let anybody say, you're in the day of the Lord, i.e. you're in the 7-year tribulation. Right? Now, I said all that to get to this. He does mention something, though, of the Antichrist that is already at work. Right? And he says, there's the phrase there, the secret power of lawlessness of the Antichrist, it's already at work. What's he talking about? In other words, the wicked intent of the Antichrist to overthrow God, okay, in the future, that'll culminate in the 7-year tribulation. The machinery that he needs to put together to culminate in the 7-year tribulation, guess what? That's already at work. And it's being done behind the scenes. Now, the embodiment of the Antichrist hasn't come, right? I mean, he may very well be on planet Earth, but people won't know technically who he is until he makes that covenant, if they follow the scripture, okay? But the machinery he needs is being built right now behind the scenes. And the word there, the important word there is secret. It's the secret power. It's the Greek word mysterion, and that means not just secret, it means something hidden from us. And folks, I think this has everything to do with this big brother technology that is monitoring our every move. Not just the information, not just the satellites in the sky, but I'm talking on the ground. Because it's not just coming, it's already here. In fact, every year it increases on an exponential scale even more. And do you and I ever hear about it? No, which means it's being done in secret, the machinery of the Antichrist, what he needs to pull off, the evil deeds in the seven-year tribulation, is already at work. It's secretly being put upon us. Now, again, we've already talked about the information. We've talked about the satellites watching us. Let's talk about the secret cameras put everywhere all around us that we are not being told about. The cameras on the ground. Now, the word that they use, okay, is CCTV. Right? You may have heard that term, but supplant it for what it is. Big brother. Okay, that's really what it means. Right? And that's what they do. They always hide behind terms, right? I mean, because think about it. Hey, guys, just want to let you know, pretty much every little piece of real estate on the planet, we're going to install Big Brother TVs and watch your every move. People would probably what? Freak out. And so, no, don't. It's just CCTV. I call it Antichrist TV, okay, is what it is. Okay, but the CCTV is the term they use to speak of the constant, nonstop, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, video monitoring, the video surveillance of you and I, whether we realize it or not. And you go, well, how in the world did that happen? Why did that happen? Well, how many of you guys remember this event called 9/11? Right? And we've talked about this before. There's a whole other backdrop to that story, what really went on and all that stuff. My point is the aftermath of that event. And that became the excuse to hurry up and cram, okay, all this legislation that gives the ability for our government, and then it became an excuse for governments around the world too, to get those terrorists to install a Big Brother system like we can't ever even dream. But it was because of that. Thanks to the executive orders passed at that time by Bush Jr., under the guise of terrorism and other so-called bad guy reasons, Even our own government has full authority to utilize all kinds of surveillance technology on you and I, not some foreign entity, and that's going on too. But I'm talking on you and I, the American citizen, okay? And I'm going to demonstrate that with you. And they're doing it. One of the ways they're doing that is installing, I kid you not, literally cameras everywhere you can think of. And I'm going to demonstrate they're all tied together, okay? The first way they're doing that is they're installing cameras on a scale you can't even believe in cities, okay? Right now, cities across the world, including the United States, are being secretly monitored, whether people realize it or not, watching people's every move, okay? And I'm going to start with the first example, and that is in the UK, over there in Britain. How many of you guys can do a British accent? Well, is that how they laugh? Was that the example? I don't know what it is. But anyway, but listen to this. Right now, not coming, already in place, there are 6 million cameras in the UK, in the government, in the private sector, in businesses, you name it, everywhere. ATMs, elevators, hospital rooms, hotel rooms, every place you can think of, they have got cameras everywhere. They literally call it, this is their term, a virtual surveillance canopy. In other words, you can't hide. In fact, it's so commonplace over there in the UK that the British people go, oh yeah, we're being monitored. Listen to this. This is what they state. Quote, so dense is the network that in many urban areas, people may be monitored, listen, from the moment they step out their front door and be kept under observation on their way to work. Then the whole time they're in the office, even at a restaurant if they choose to dine out after work, and over the course of a day, they could be filmed by over 300 different cameras. And the latest figures show that in cities in the UK, people are captured on film once every 5 minutes. Wow. In fact, this system has been in place for so long, and apparently, with all due respect, the British people have rolled over and accepted this monitoring from cameras, that now their government, under the same guise of getting those bad guys, the terrorists, that they say, it's not enough just to monitor you with cameras. We want to monitor everything you do. That includes whatever you do on the computer, social media, you name it. We're going to be watching your every move. Watch this.
Do you ever feel like someone's watching you? Well, if you're a UK citizen, the government is attempting to step up its public surveillance policy and even snooping on your personal emails. Despite CCTV cameras already a major fact of UK life, there's now plans to store personal data, including information from social networking sites.
Soon you could be watched everywhere you go in the UK, even where the cameras can't see you. All your emails, texts, and phone calls will be monitored under a new anti-terror spy plan. The government will know which websites you visit. It'll even snoop on your private Facebook messages. No matter who you are, all your personal data will be stored for a year in a massive surveillance operation privacy campaigners condemn. Britain's already one of the most watched societies in the world. Now the government wants to monitor all electronic communication as well, including social media, taking surveillance to a level never seen before. The government will know exactly who you speak to, when you do it, and where you are. Security services will have real-time access at the click of a button, secretly living your life with you.
Ooh, what was the word you just used? Not just living your life with you, secretly living your life with you. Where have I heard that before? The secret power of lawlessness. Hey, anybody starting to feel like a rat in a cage? Oh, but praise God, that's just unfortunately those British people with those accents that apparently not one of us can do except for our laughter. But surely that's not going to happen here in America. Well, first of all, stop calling me Shirley. Second of all, folks, it's already here. Under the same guise, the same premise. Okay, you thought the UK was bad? You ain't seen nothing yet. Watch this. The UK, I just mentioned, has 6 million cameras, and that's what it's developed into. Watch this. In the United States of America, we have an estimated 30 million cameras. 5 times as many. And we're supposed to be the land of the free and the home, right? Right? One guy says it's turned into the land of the fee and the home of the slave. But anyway, we'll just move on. Right? But 30 million cameras, listen, it's shooting 4 billion hours of footage a week. Even Scientific American said this. Americans are being watched, all of us, almost everywhere. Well, why? How did that happen? Well, guess what? And I quote, following the September 11th attacks, the use of video surveillance in public places became more common. Why? To deter future terrorist attacks. We have to watch you, even though you, American citizens, should be protected under the Constitution. We're going to watch you anyway because of those bad guys. That's the premise that they've gotten away with. Now, how did it get into the cities? Right? Because money's got to come from somewhere. Well, guess what? You and I are paying for it. Quote, under the Homeland Security Grant Program, it wasn't just the Homeland Security got launched. It's we're paying for them to give money away to build these Big Brother cities. Camera surveillance networks all around. We're paying for it in virtually every city in the United States. Watch this. And the biggest one today, they're not the only one, believe you me, but the biggest one is Chicago. Chicago's system, their homeland security system, is called Operation Virtual Shield. Have fun living there. There's no privacy whatsoever. Watch this.
Watchful police cameras like these have some people thinking Big Brother.
You have a right to privacy in that you have a right to have government not watch what you do.
To others, they are a dazzling new crime-fighting tool. No city in America has a surveillance system as vast and sophisticated as the one here in Chicago. Cameras big and small seem to be almost everywhere. The live footage is watched around the clock at a city command center. Police and fire, and people on the lookout for threats of terrorism. Hundreds of privately owned cameras on office buildings, shops, and restaurants also looped into the system. Now, more cameras are going in. Police say so-called covert cameras may be next, as small as a box of matches.
And here's the amazing thing. The citizens of the city of Chicago have never got a chance to vote on any of this.
Oh, let me translate that. What does that mean? It's being done not just whether you realize it or not, in secret again. There's a constant theme through this. Folks, this is happening not in China. This ain't Russia. This is not some communist country. I'll get to that in a little bit. It's being done here in the United States of America. Now, did you know, or if you're paying attention to the verbiage, there's some other things that are very disturbing. It says it wasn't just their cameras that they installed. It says they're tapping into what? Private cameras, private businesses, which tells you it's apparently all tied together. But again, who gave you that right to tap into private cameras? In fact, Operation Virtual Shield in Chicago, listen to this, consists of 600 miles of fiber optics stretching across the whole city. It captures and processes camera feeds in real time. Listen to this. We might get to this in the next study. Just in their public school system alone, there's 4,000 cameras. Just in the school system. Kids are being watched like rats, right? But don't worry, it's for their safety, right? And just in the Chicago O'Hare International Airport, just that one airport, 1,000 cameras. 1,000 cameras in just one airport? Granted, it's a good-sized airport, but 1,000 cameras? Folks, this is, again, is in the United States of America. In fact, here's the rationale. The former mayor of Chicago, Richard Daley, he said, quote, "This is the next best thing to a police officer on every corner. It's worth it, don't you see? It's going to reduce crime in Chicago." Yeah. Turn to somebody and go, are you kidding me? Who has the worst crime rates in all of America? Chicago. And I quote, "The city's overall crime rate, especially violent crime, is higher than the U.S. average, and Chicago was responsible for nearly half of just 2016 increase in homicides in the U.S., being named, quote, America's mass shooting capital." Yay, the cameras are working. No, they're not. They're having zero effect. But that's the same panacea. Oh, it's just for you. It's to get the bad guys to reduce crime. It's not doing anything. Well, then why is it being done? Because it's got another purpose, folks, and that purpose is to monitor our every move. I'm not saying all these people are working for the Antichrist. I'm saying that this system is being put into place, and we're going to see, I believe, one guy can hack into the whole system. And when the time comes and he needs it in the seven-year tribulation, it's already sitting there, secretly had been worked on behind the scenes, whether people realize it or not. That's my point with this. In fact, it's so commonplace in the United States of America, and not just in Chicago. Listen to this quote from USA Today. "Whether as motorists or pedestrians, as visitors at convenience stores, at banks, at ATMs, go to the post office, shoppers with credit cards, anybody on the telephone, even at leisure, at parks and playgrounds, golf courses, quote, in the United States of America, we are on constant," here's their word, "candid camera. Full-time surveillance is a reality of modern life." Where in the U.S. of A? Millions of cameras. Five times as many as UK, as bad as that is. Now, you think that's bad? You ain't seen nothing yet. Let's talk about China. China, the reason why I want to specifically bring up this example is because it's not just a communist country. And we know, unfortunately, the communist countries, the government goes even further sometimes than what our own country will do. Who cares about freedom? Okay. But I believe that much of the technology we're seeing being released and already in play in China is, if you will, a testing ground for the Antichrist, for not only the behavior, but again, the technology that he needs to create a total surveillance society. And China takes it to a level we can't even dream. But this is not coming. This is already in place. Listen to this. Remember, UK, 6 million, we got 30 million. Watch this. China has built the largest camera surveillance system in the world with 170 million. CCT cameras, that's nothing. And 400 million more to come in just the next couple of years. In fact, all CCT cameras around the world, 65% of them are being installed throughout Asia. Why? To look at everything about its citizens and, quote, "a single image is all it takes to identify someone's face, age, gender, and ethnicity." Again, aren't you glad that you've uploaded all those images on Facebook? Because all they need is one picture view, and what they do is they combine it with facial recognition technology that's tied into this CCTV network. They just need one picture view, and they will find you not in months, not in weeks, not in days, not even in hours. You could be a stranger in China. All they got to do is give them the picture. They will literally find you in minutes. Like this reporter. Watch how long it takes for this system to find him. It's crazy.
Well, let's see how long it takes you to find me. Thank you very much. Let's go.
Thank you. 我们可以追溯到说出现每一张脸都可以对应说他的身份证以及他所经过，比方说在过去一周我们回溯他的行进路程，我们也做了像人和车的匹配，那同时在人上匹配还包括亲属关系匹配，然后是你经常接触人员之间匹配，就是当摄像机布到就或者我们传感器布到一定密度的时候，其实我们会经常知道你跟谁经常在一起。
Well, here we are then. I just got out of the car, close to the city centre, and for the purposes of this exercise, the plan is for me to start walking in the direction of the bus station. My image has already been flagged to the authorities as a suspect, and in theory, it should only be a matter of time.
对，就是这里。
Uh-oh. Right behind me, you can see, just over my left shoulder there.
Hello,
guys.
Where's you?
I've been expecting you. Ah, maybe these guys aren't in on the joke.
How long before they found the guy?
7 minutes.
7, not hours, not even 7 days, 7 minutes. In that city, you know what the population of that city is that was mentioned there? 4.5 million people. But they popped that guy's face and found him in 7 minutes. Oh, by the way, the technology continues to improve. And notice they're combining it with artificial intelligence. But think about this. You wonder why the 7-year tribulation, we've already dealt with this before. But the picture is, for those who make the ultimate worst mistake ever and don't accept Jesus Christ right now as your Lord and Savior to escape the whole thing and you're left behind, now you're in this time frame. The Bible says that time frame is an absolute horrid bloodbath. You're going to try to run, but you ain't going to get far. No wonder. You ain't going to get even to the bus station. And they're going to come and take... It's technology that's what? Not coming... It's already here, secretly been put into place. Where have we heard that before? But that's just the cities. The second one we're going to deal with is in the streets. Talk about being micromanaged and watched like a rat, okay? Right now, this is easy to demonstrate. You can go to tons of websites to, quote, monitor traffic. That's all they're doing. Those cameras on those, you know, right there on the traffic. That's all. It's just monitor traffic. Or no, just, you know, we've got them in these random places at restaurants and resort hotels just to watch, you know, for fun, the tourists and stuff. And which, think about that. Now, we're being monitored for the first time in man's history, literally anywhere on the planet. But again, it's just for fun or for traffic concerns because that's just horrid. Now, to give you a quick, easy example... Okay, of just how easy it is to tap in and secretly watch somebody. I'm going to take you to one website. It's called EarthCam. You got to check it out. I'm going to give you an example, but you got to check this out. It's freaky, folks. And if I could tap into it anytime, who else can tap into it anytime? And I'm talking about spots all over the world, hence the name, not just Cam, EarthCam. Right? And we're talking cities, Timbuktu, anywhere. There's cameras all over the place. And you and I, don't worry. You know, there's nothing nefarious going on. We'll give you access to it, which we saw last time. That's like, yeah, you got a rat in a cage, and he's being monitored with cameras. But don't worry, here's a laptop so you can watch yourself being monitored. That's the logic. But let me give an example of just how much, even randomly, people are being watched. And so easy, even you and I could watch, listen, and not just watch them. They're being secretly recorded. You can listen to them. Right? This is just from this week, made a little video, you know, to dispel the myth that all pastors do in their office is take naps and drink iced tea. Right? I did something this week, praise God. Right? But watch this. I just made this a couple days ago. Check this out.
All right, well, here we are at EarthCam. And again, this is just one of many sites that you can visit that you can tap into just basically anywhere you can think of around the world, literally. And so let me give you just a little tour here. This over here is from Dublin. This is outside of a pub. And what you need to understand is it's not just video footage. Let me click this here. And what do you hear? That's audio. These people right now that we are watching in Ireland have no clue that they are being monitored and listened to. In fact, you can only listen to them, but you can actually zoom in. and get a closer look. You can also go to the left, pan over this way, pan to the right. On and on it goes, and but these people have no idea that they're being watched from America. Of course, this is Times Square. Let's check it out, see what these people are doing. It's daytime over there. And again, notice it's not just the video. It's also the audio that you could check out as well. But hey, how about something more tropical? This is the Aruba Cam. See how the Bahamas are doing. Looks like all the tourists might have stayed up too late last night, and they're still sleeping. But you can go check that out as well. How about Niagara Falls? I used to live there, but hey, guess what? I don't need to live there anymore. I could just type in and see how they're doing live at any time apparently I want. Also, how about Hollywood? You know, if you don't have a chance to go there, just type into the webcam here and check it out and see how they're doing there on Hollywood. And again, what I want to show with you is it's not just the big populated places around the planet. It literally is in Timbuktu, little tiny places. Here's a live cam, and this is from Oklahoma, the Vanita, Oklahoma. And look at this. These people have no clue that we're watching them as they're driving by. And again, what can you hear? It's not just video. It's audio. They're being monitored, and they have no clue. You think that's bad? Listen to this. This is in Hyden, Kentucky, okay? And that guy that just stopped there, and the person in the red truck, they have no clue that they're being watched from Las Vegas, okay? In Kentucky, out in the middle of nowhere. And then this one really got me. Watch this. This is in North Dakota, Cavalier, North Dakota. There ain't much action going on there, as you can tell. And as you can tell over here, they still got the, it looks like Christmas lights up there. But if you ever live in a small town, those stay up all year long. So, but that person backing out in the truck, that person right there, moving, walking, they have no clue that they are being monitored in the middle of nowhere, small town USA in North Dakota. And folks, I'm telling you, this is anywhere, everywhere around the world. We are just barely scraping the surface.
But hey, don't worry about it because we give you access to it. Folks, it's everywhere. See, I think a lot of us say, oh, yeah, there's Big Brother, but that's just in the big cities. Folks, they're in places you can't even dream. And it's a surreal thing because I'm sitting there in my office. I'm going like, how many of these people have any idea that right now a pastor in Las Vegas is watching and listening to them? Now, that's freaky. You know, we should get cameras in all of our homes and congregants, and I could watch you too. Yeah. Hey, if you think that thought's freaky, guess what? God is watching because he is omnipresent. Let's close in prayer with that conviction point. No, let's move on, right? But they're walking by and they have no clue. We just saw the video I made that was live and we're watching, listening to people. What? In secret. I'll guarantee you they have no clue. And who could pop in at any time, right? And again, that's just the tip of the iceberg of cameras on the streets. You got traffic cams, online cameras, all kinds of stuff. But again, it's just for traffic concerns, right? No. In fact, get this. Let's go back to Chicago. Chicago admitted, oh yeah, we went ahead and took over the traffic cams too. We're using them to watch people. Watch this.
In the Windy City, Big Brother is busier than ever. Chicago's traffic cameras are now doing double duty, catching red light runners, and performing surveillance.
What we don't know is, are we tracking a terrorist, or are we just tracking someone else? Are we tracking someone who we don't like because of their political views?
Chicago's traffic cameras are nothing new. For years, you could walk from one end of downtown to the other without ever being out of range. What's new with the new cameras is that they can pivot to follow an individual or zoom in for a positive ID.
Well, boy, did we get schnookered. I thought that was just to monitor traffic so you know which exit to take, you know, to avoid the whole mess and the jam and whatever. Oh, that's not all. They've also, not just with the traffic cams and random cams throughout the streets and buildings, where they've also done it on light posts, okay, on light posts, and not just cameras on light posts on the streets, but again, listening devices on the streets. Now, to use the term that they use, they call it IntelliStreets or Smart Streets. And again, it's a code word. Anytime, I've said this before, anytime you see the word smart before some piece of technology, supplant it for what it is. It means Big Brother, right? We'll deal with this eventually, maybe in the next study. You've got something called a smartphone. You know what it is? Oh, wait till you see that. You call it a Big Brother phone because that's what it is. Oh, you got a smartwatch? No, it's a Big Brother watch. You got a smart TV? Oh, no, no. It's a Big Brother TV. George Orwell would be eating his heart out because the TVs can now watch you, the smart TVs. We'll get to that eventually. Samsung admitted it. Okay. Ooh, that's creepy. Hey, but same thing. Smart streets. All it's Big Brother. That's all it means, right? But listen, these light posts not only emit light, but listen, they've got cameras on them. They've got intercoms on them. They got speakers on them. They go, why do you need all that? Well, it's to warn people as we watch them of inappropriate behavior. Or in case we've desperately got to get out some public service announcement that people have got to know now that they have like video portions on these light posts that they could tune in and watch this special announcement. That's the rationale. But imagine that reality. Imagine you're just walking down the street. You have no clue, secretly being monitored. Okay, and you're just walking down and all of a sudden you go by the streetlight and it says, hey, stop that. Knock it off. We see you. Put the chicken down. Right? Now that might sway me a little bit personally towards this technology. But you know it's not going to stop there. But that's what they're saying. That the light post will speak back to you and warn you of inappropriate behavior. Or all of a sudden, we need to make a special announcement. Pay attention, citizen. Blah, 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 blah. Really? Now, as freaky as that sounds, let's bring it home. Literally. See, everybody's excited about all the new construction here in Vegas. And that's great. Certainly helps with the economy. But guess what they're installing in our own city? Smart posts. IntelliStreets. All over. Watch this.
If you paid attention to all the downtown redevelopment over the past few years, you know a lot of progress has been made.
One more upgrade currently in the works is a brand new street lighting system. The lights are capable of all sorts of fancy features, and they may save the city money, but there is a concern. News 3's Gerard Amalo joins us for this special report. And Gerard, these new street lights are also capable of recording not only video, but sound.
Yeah, amazing. They are actually adaptable, and the lights are currently being tested in Las Vegas, but they could soon be positioned at areas throughout the city.
We want to develop more than just the street lighting component. We want to develop an experience for the people that come downtown.
Neil Rohleder is with the City of Las Vegas Public Works Department. His latest project involves the testing of a new street light system by a company called IntelliStreets. They look like ordinary street poles.
We have one, two on Main Street right next over here. Then we have two on the traffic signal.
But they're actually capable of a wide variety of features. Illuminating Concepts, the company who designed IntelliStreets, is based in Philadelphia.
The IntelliStreets processors store and analyze data, soundtracks, announcements, commercials, and even video files.
According to their own marketing video, the lights they manufacture are adaptable, capable of adding cameras for surveillance and security, and even recording devices. Yes, the same street lights now being tested in Las Vegas could someday be set up to record conversations from everyday passersby.
Yeah, another big concern here. These systems run on wireless technology. Wi-Fi, of course, is something that can be hacked.
So you're building the whole system on a system that can be, what's the word he used? Hacked. And again, I'm not saying all these people are working directly for the Antichrist. I'm not saying that. But you're seeing a system being secretly put into place that can be hacked on a global level and taken over for some, dare I say, nefarious purpose. That rhymes with the 7-year tribulation and the Antichrist, for those of you hooked on rhyming. It's all being put into place. Even here in Vegas, it's absolutely crazy, whether you want it or not. Now, speaking of being listened to, they've been doing actually with microphones, not just the cameras, but microphones on the streets, in buildings, you name it, and we're being recorded on audio as well. It's being done on hidden microphones on utility poles, okay, and rooftops. In most major cities across the U.S., why? To monitor strange noises and gunshots. Well, hey, that ain't working in my house. Every time my wife hears a strange noise, she still wants me to get up. Your technology didn't help me there. I wish it would. Get some sleep once in a while. No. But gunshots, that's right. It's those bad guys. That's why, what? What are we talking about here? Hidden, that's their word, hidden microphones on utility poles, rooftops, and these things for your protection. So now, just like the Earth Cam, down below. We're being watched and listened to. In fact, wait till you see this. It's not just here in Vegas. It's not just, you know, a couple isolated places. This is in San Francisco. But listen to what this guy says. They're not just monitoring street corners with listening devices. They hide them in things you wouldn't even think of. Watch this.
We are exposing a surveillance program operating all around the Bay Area. Federal agents planting microphones to secretly record conversations. KPIX5's Jackie Ward is at the Oakland courthouse. Now, Jackie, can they legally do that?
Yes, they can, which may surprise a lot of you out there. Just imagine standing at that very bus stop, having a conversation with your friend, and having no idea that your conversation was being recorded. It happens all the time, and the FBI says that they don't even need a warrant to do it.
They plant microphones under rocks. They plant microphones in trees. They plant microphones in equipment. I mean, there's microphones that are planted in places that people don't think about because that's the intent.
The intent is what? That you don't know it's happening. You don't know it's there. It's hidden from you. What's the word? Secret. Where ever heard that before? Did you see what he says? It's not just in the street lamps. It's not just on utility poles. It's not just on rooftops. It's not just on bus corners. It's what? They put them in rocks and trees, other equipment. You don't even know it's there. When did that become legal? Interesting. Now, what's concerning about all this technology is it's not just being done. It's not coming. It's already here. And it's not just being done here in the U.S. It's being done all over the world. Okay? But it's being done in secret. And I believe this is the system that the Antichrist is going to hack into and tap into and take control that will lead to this Big Brother monitoring system that he can find anybody he wants and watch and monitor him. And when he gives an order, he'll know exactly who disobeys. In fact, let me demonstrate to you that any video camera technology that's either with a cell phone or wireless, anything that's tapped into that system, all of them can be hacked into to literally follow you from camera to camera to camera. Watch this. And notice the guy who invented it, with all due respect.
Surveillance cameras, car cameras, cell phone cameras. They record countless hours of video, huge amounts of data. Much of it ends up on servers.
All this information, how are we going to take advantage?
Now, a University of Washington researcher, electrical engineering professor Zhenneng Huang, has developed a way to tap this resource.
If this person can walk over in this kind of territory,
Huang can track individuals as they're recorded on different unrelated cameras. Then, even with variations in color, angle, and lighting, they can follow a subject across cameras.
With this new technology, anyone searching the videos would be able to spot me, even as I moved from camera to camera to camera.
Wow. Now, please don't take this, and I don't mean this in some sort of a racist remark, but I find it interesting that somebody from Asia, over here now in America, would be willing to develop this kind of technology that you can go from any camera, different cameras, different, even, did you see what it was? It was also your cell phone can be tapped into, any camera can be tapped into to find anybody in the United States of America. 65%, as we saw, of all CCTVs are going in Asia. And so here we have somebody of that descent. Again, I'm not saying this in a racist, but I think it's because they've been conditioned, think it's okay. So for them, it's only natural. Well, of course, you need it here in the United States of America. Interesting. But that's just the point. It's in the United States of America. And what is it? To create this system that can tap into any CCTV camera, but cameras in your cell phone, also cameras in your car, basically any kind of camera. To what? To create a seamless net so that when you try to hide, you ain't going to get very far. Not coming, but what? Already here, secretly being put into place. And I think, again, the Antichrist is going to hack the whole thing to pull off what he needs to pull off. In fact, I wonder if it's going to be like a double-edged sword, that the Antichrist will not only use this system to hack into, to watch people, right? But we notice it's not just watching, it's also listening. So he's not only going to hack into it to watch video, maybe he's going to use the same global video system to make a global video announcement. You know, like, hey, at the halfway point, what's he going to do? He goes up into the rebuilt Jewish temple. He declares himself to be God. And he says, worship me that he is God. Well, how's he going to get that announcement out? Here goes your streetlight. Public service announcement. Attention, citizen alert. He could tap into every video feed and make an announcement. He's God now, worship him. And not only that, but the same system would allow him to watch the reaction of people. Are you going to do it or not? Now, if you think that's crazy, unfortunately, Obama, in his term, helped to create the system that literally you could hijack the whole system with the flip of a switch and automatically take over all broadcasts for some sort of global announcement. Watch this.
President Obama may soon have the ability to speak to everyone in our country with just the flip of a switch. Today, the FCC will propose an overhaul to the emergency alert system. The president would be able to appear on every television channel immediately. Well, right now, the president, if he wants to address the nation, has to get in touch with each local broadcaster, and they have to agree to pick up the message. The new system will cost between $7 and $13 million, so they wouldn't have to ask. We wouldn't have to agree to it. It just gets put up whenever he wants it.
So if he wants to talk about immigration reform, he just flips the switch and he's on all the channels, including the Food Network?
If it's considered an emergency, yes.
Okay.
They don't even have to ask. They don't even have to agree with it. What's the system allow you to do? Flip a switch, and it's everywhere. Making some sort of announcement. You know, like, hey, I'm God. Worship me. And that same system not only makes the announcement, but that same system watches and listens to see if you do it or not. And if you don't, we got technology to take you out right there. Oh, you try to run? You ain't getting far. Isn't this wild? This is not coming. This is already here, secretly being put into place. The secret power of lawlessness is already at work. And this is why Jesus said when these things begin to take place, what do? Freak out, run to the hills, hide. Oh, no, you don't. Woohoo! Rapture practice, baby. It's getting close. We don't know the day nor the hour. Man, I mean, you talk about minute detail. Everything you need to pull off the events in the seven-year tribulation, it's not coming. It's here now. And we leave prior. So guess what? Our departure is getting close. And last time I checked, going to heaven is way better than here. Okay? And we should be excited about that. And only that, we need to be responsible. We need to get busy telling as many people, you need to get out of this mess. And there's only one way. His name is through Jesus Christ. Let's wrap it around. Don't be like that firefighter. Which, by the way, I believe was an analogy. I hope that's not a real story. But still, let's not be like that firefighter. Folks, we know. We know, especially here at Sunrise, what's coming down the pike, don't we? But don't sit there in your car. Don't sit there in your house. Don't sit there at your workplace. Don't sit there with your family. Don't sit there at the restaurant and say nothing. When you know that person very well is flirting with the flames. Let's not be that kind of a cold, loveless church. Amen? Let's tell people. Now, if you're here today, you need to take this serious. If you're not saved, you need to get saved today. Because today could be your last opportunity. And if you're here and you're not saved, why do you think God has you here? He's being very blunt with you in love. You better take the way out through Jesus right now. Amen. Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death? In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows he's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall to give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine x-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine x-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying. Okay. How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Okay. Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandment says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. If we're being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something, right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy. Even his name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's his standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that, that's the first step. To admit that God is holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon, that God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against Him and disqualified us for heaven, right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. There's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon, and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it. And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive His pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what He was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon
so that you could be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth he is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.